Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 603. It's the 5th of October 2016. On the podcast today, I have Mark Learmonth, CFO of Caledonia Mining, CMCL. And they go through their Q3 production report, all very positive. Plus, I also have Pham Dang Hung, COO and Finance Director of MySquare, answering private investor questions. And Doc Holliday, small cap commentator, talks about Rockhopper Exploration, that's RKH, Life Science Development, Life, and Ariane Silver, AGQ. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Plus, you can see on the website, this is a new one, the most followed of the last week, you can see that. But also, if you go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, you can see the top five most followed companies of all time on the Vox Markets website. And do you know what? To me, I can see there's no real surprises. I've been covering these stocks for a while, but it just shows what are the most popular stocks. And there's no surprise. But having said that, you know, number two is quite a surprise. How fast has it entered the top five there? Unbelievable. I've got the top three most liked RNSs on the Vox Market site this morning. Plus, today's suggested one for your watch list is Mercom Capital, MCC, although it was originally submitted as Mervin Capital, by Demand. And I'll give you the reasons why Demand reckons you should add Mercom Capital to your watch list in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Learmonth, CFO of Caledonia Mining, that's CMCL ticker. Mark, good morning.
Morning to you.
How's things going there? I see you've got a production update and it's looking good, but how are things there?
No, it's going very well. We put a production update out this morning, which confirms that we're on track to deliver the increased production that we said we were going to do. So, you know, that's all good news. Costs, it's too early for us to put costs out yet for quarter three, but quarter one and quarter two, our costs show that they're under control.
Well, rising
gold price helps.
Before we get on the good stuff here, Mark, let's before we get too far in, for people here who may want to, you know, get into Caledonia and haven't heard you on the podcast before, can you give us a brief summary as to what the company's all about, so we can get an overall picture of it?
Yeah, no, happy to do that. Yeah, it's very straightforward. We are a little mining company, a little gold mining company based in Jersey. Our main asset is a lovely gold mine in Zimbabwe called the Blanket Mine. It's been running for 100 years. We've owned it for about 10 years. We bought it off Kinross. We've invested money in it to improve it further because it wasn't broken when we bought it. But it's now in very good condition indeed. And we're in the middle of an investment program to increase production from about 42,000 ounces, which is what we did in 2015, up to about 80,000 ounces by 2021. And as we increase production, we expect the costs to come down because the fixed costs get spread out more ounces. So you get the benefit of rising production, falling costs. At the moment, we've got a higher gold price, although it's not higher today, a higher gold price, which further boosts profit. And do you know what? We pay a dividend, which is a bit unusual for a gold company. We pay a dividend quarterly, and currently we're on a yield of about 3.5%. We've increased the dividend in the course of this year already, increased it about 22%. And as we take the business forwards, grow profit, grow cash flow, clearly we've got the optionality over the coming years to make further dividend increases. So that's us in a nutshell.
Yeah, and like I said before, you are a bit of a rare commodity on AIM because you make a profit, you pay a dividend, which is almost unknown. And do you know, when I first started talking to you guys there, I'm sure the share price has run about 60 pence. And you're more than double that now. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's done really well.
It's run a lot. I mean, year to date, we're up from, I think, 38p to about £1.30. So it has moved ahead quite significantly, as have most other gold companies. But I think what's happening is that, we've came out with this, with the growth plan for Blanket in late 2014. And yeah, the world's full of gold miners. You say they're going to do this, say they're going to do that, but mostly they don't. And they run out of money or they overspend or whatever. And I think now people are beginning to understand with our quarterly reporting that we really are beginning to deliver the increased production that we said. We really are beginning to get the costs down even further, and we're continuing now to generate cash. And the increased dividend, I think, earlier on this year, really began to focus people's minds that, you know, the train is now beginning to leave the station, and it's time to hop on board. And it's good to see it. It's good to see that finally the market's beginning to believe what you're saying.
Yeah, so this update is for Q3, isn't it? And 13,430 ounces of gold, which is a nice 23% increase year on year. That's good, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. So we'd said that the target for this year, 2016, is 50,000 ounces. And broadly speaking, that was going to be something like 11,000 in the first quarter, 12 in the second, 13 in the fourth, and 14 in the fifth. You know, increasing quarter on quarter through the year. And we're doing that. That's exactly what we're doing. And yeah, it's nice because people are beginning to see. We're not shocking the market. It's just a steady progression, quarter on quarter improvements in production, quarter on quarter improvements in costs, which all helps the bottom line in terms of profit and cash flow.
Yeah, do you know, the only downside I can see is looking at your chart. I mean, for a person who likes to grab a bargain here, it's hard to get an in point here, but right now...
Don't be scared. Go on.
Right now, at the moment, because the gold price has taken a bit of a little tumble over the last few days, this is one of these opportunities where a little bit of a pullback here is something of an opportunity, isn't it, I think?
It is. I mean, but frankly, yes, our share price has moved ahead. But you know, we came from a position of almost obscene undervalue. Yeah. If you look at there's research out there from WH Ireland, there's research from Edison, and there's research from Martin & Co. And they're forecasting earnings for this year, 2016, of 25 cents. Next year, anything between 45 and 50 cents. So if you're talking in US dollar terms, I think our share price is about $1.60 now. You know, we're still on a 2017 PE ratio of just over 3, you know, which is still outrageously cheap. So yeah. Yeah, we've done the analysis ourselves, and yes, our share price has outperformed pretty much every other gold company on AIM, but we're still, even after that, we're still on a PE ratio which is a significant discount to the other gold companies. So as far as I'm concerned, there's plenty of gas left in the tank in terms of scope for share price appreciation.
And what is your opinion? I always like to ask this because, you know, we've seen a recent bit of weakness in the gold price. I mean, how does that affect you, and what's your longer-term thoughts on that?
Well, it does affect us because it affects the price at which we sell our gold. But because we're a lowish cost producer and becoming a lower cost producer, it actually doesn't have as big an effect on ours as it does on, say, some of the marginal producers. So you don't need to be a sort of crazy gold guy to buy our stocks. We're a company that happens to produce gold, very high margins, very high profitability. And yeah, everyone would like a higher gold price, but the fact is a lower gold price doesn't hurt us as badly as it does other companies. Look, in terms of where we think the gold price is going, you know, we're just humble gold miners. We dig the stuff out of the ground and flog it. We try and keep our costs as low as possible so that we're defensive if the gold price does fall. But, you know, we just come back from the Denver Gold Show, and, you know, it's full of experts. And what do experts know? I mean, typically they're very good at telling you what's going to happen, and then it all goes wrong. But the sense we were getting is that given the extent of insecurity globally, both politically and economically, that we thought that most commentators and observers were pretty bullish about gold. And the current pullback that's happened today, I'd expect, based on what I've heard over there, to be a temporary blip. And we're quite comfortable with gold stabilizing at about 1300, 1350, and then potentially moving ahead. There is a strong body of opinion in the States and also in continental Europe that anything that happens that's particularly unpleasant, there is potential for the gold price to shoot ahead quite considerably. You know, that's postulating and a whole environment that actually may be very uncomfortable for everybody. So you've got to be careful what you wish for, because if you really do think gold price is going to $5,000, just think what that means in terms of everything else around it, and it may not be a world you want to live in. So I just made that point.
Yeah. But, you know, just going back to the chart there, very rarely does your price dip below what's called a 20-day moving average. When it does, it rebounds, and every now and again it's touched the 50 dip, well, not a lot actually, but it's touching the 20-day moving average now, which to me, on a technical level, seems like a good entry point, you know? Okay, listen, you know, on the Vox Markets website, every day on the podcast, I list the top five most followed companies. And so we try and get companies, you know, good companies in this top five, because we see a strong correlation between share price performance. In fact, yours has had that. And the amount of people that follow these companies. So can you give us three reasons why someone should hit the follow button on your page at Vox Markets, please, Mark?
Yep, watch for rising production, falling costs, increased cash generation.
Yeah, I just see there you got... Yeah, and just looking at your cash there, you have cash already of 10.6 million. So you've got a nice little cash, you know, blanket there. That's nice.
So that's the key line. Watch that increase quarter on quarter.
Yeah, exactly. Mark, lovely to chat to you. Speak again soon.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Pham Dang Hung, COO and Finance Director of MySquare. Hung, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Justin. I'm very happy to be on here.
And I've got to say happy birthday. I saw on Skype there, it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Very special day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, listen, we haven't had you on the podcast before, Hung, so I think it's appropriate that you should explain to us, you know, how you came to be at MySquare. What did you do before you came to MySquare?
Yes, I joined MySquare 3 years ago. Before that, I worked for more than 15 years in financial and private equity investment in Southeast Asia. I worked in a few largest funds in Vietnam, for example, Indochina Capital, who listed on the London Stock Exchange back in 2007. And then I moved to a fund named Saigon Asset Management, who managed around 200 million listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. And right after that, I joined MySquare. In 2014.
Okay, so you've got the right amount of experience by the sounds of it. Okay, and before we go any further, just for new listeners and for people who haven't heard about MySquare, can you give us a summary as to what MySquare is all about, please, Hung?
Sure, my pleasure to do that. In the past few months, there are a lot of activities going with MySquare. But firstly, I want to touch base a little bit about the market. As the mobile market of Myanmar is booming, it has achieved a very high mobile phone penetration as of today. MySquare feels very positive with its business that is to concentrate on providing mobile service to Myanmar users, in which MySquare strives to become a leading publisher and operator of a diversified portfolio of mobile product and services. The portfolio of MySquare will be focused on the largest sectors of the mobile-based service market, such as instant message and social networking, online media, for instance, news and advertising, value-added service, such as voice call, for instance, payment service, and entertainment service such as mobile games, for example, mobile marketplace like FastSell, the app we are going to release in the next couple of months, and mobile commerce in the long run. Financial wise, the company raised approximately $1.7 million, of which £475,000 back in August, and $1 million in this month, and we not counting yet warrants to those investors that will add more funds to the company once they are exercised. Revenue from games and advertising have also helped improve the company cash flow. The revenue collectors, or I can say, you know, the cash collector of our revenue, that is MySquare is cooperating with for the games. Those are Mattel Telecommunication Company and Red Dog. They have been paying MySquare very on time based on agreed payment terms. So we feel very good with them so far about, you know, managing our account receivable and cash flow. As planned, and given the encouraging results from the gaming business, we will release more games in the coming time that definitely bring in more revenue to the company. In the meantime, we will push other apps like voice payment, fast sell, and also sticker store in MyChat to the market as soon as possible.
Wow, that was a heck of an update there. Excellent stuff, Hung. So, listen, we've got some questions from private investors.
Sure.
And so I'll shoot them to you and let you know. If you can't answer them, no problem at all. But I've got some questions here. Yeah, the first one is, in your first half-year report, the rate of user growth with 160K users per month, what is the latest acquisition rate?
We're going to announce the acquisition rate in common INS. We can't provide any specific numbers right now, but I can say that we don't see any reason that slow down our user acquisition, especially as the company has more operating application than ever before.
Okay, good. All right. Next question is, do you expect to roll out your planned voice over IP services this calendar year?
Yes, we are on track to release it as planned in Q4 of this year, this calendar year 2016.
Okay, good. Next question. Does the delay of MyPlay also mean there is a delay in introducing voice over IP service?
Not at all. The two apps, the voice app and the MyPay apps are separate, and their service are separate as well. And the voice app will use a few payment service providers rather than only MyPay. So the voice app does not depend on MyPay entirely, I would say.
Okay, good. Next question. Did the company have no other option than to put up their share capital as collateral for the loan notes? It seems unfair to shareholders.
The convertible loan was reviewed carefully by the board, and some of the board members are also shareholder of the company, and they own a large number of shares in MySquare. And the loan also reviewed very carefully by the company legal counsel. So within that, the convertible loan is in the best interest of the company and its shareholders at the time being.
Okay, next question. Who are Sander Bell, in brackets here, track record in investments, main people behind it, and do they bring anything else to the table, contracts, etc., other than cash?
As we announced to the market, we knew Sandeville is a private investor that Buffett brought to us, and what we're looking for from them is the cash for the company.
Okay, all right. Next question: do you expect mobile payments to contribute more or less revenue than gaming?
I would like to not provide any comparison between the two as yet, until we can release the payment service.
Okay, no problem. Next question. If you could add another commercial tie-up right now, what sector would you dream sector be to tap into? And would gambling be a viable and lucrative ad? Or is there a sector that's shown interest in MySquare in reverse that surprised you?
The mobile-based market is very broad. And based on our research, also, as compared to other countries, I can see there are a few sectors that may be good, such as live streaming, like movie, music, video streaming, etc. Online shopping, such as mobile commerce, flash sale or logistics for online shopping, and so on. Many out there, I can see. We have not been surprised with any yet, but of course we have a good list of product and service that we want to develop in the future.
Okay, cool. Are you actively looking to add other types of services after the Fast Sell JV?
As I just mentioned above, the sector of mobile-based service are very broad, and it is touching on various demands of the consumers. So definitely, our service will not stop at fast sell. We are actually very active in looking for new type of service that we can see a significant market for them.
Okay. Where do you see MySquare in 18 months from now?
Wow. Yes, we have a very big plan for it. But in short, I want to see MySquare to become a leading mobile-based application operator in Myanmar that the people in Myanmar wants to talk about. At the time being, actually, we are one of the first mover in this market already. But I like to see our leading position in the next 18 months, and the company must run at profit.
I see. Okay, and the last question: has the business experienced issues or delays with the receivables owed, and how do you mitigate the risk here?
As I said above, Metel is a telecommunication is telco company in Myanmar who's very big, and Red Dot is another leading payment service provider in Myanmar. Those are the cash collector of our games, and they have performed very well. They have performed very well with the agreed payment terms so far, so we feel good with them.
Excellent. Okay, well, that's all the questions, Hung. And All I need you to do now is on Vox Markets, we have what's called the most followed list. And the top five companies there, I read out in the podcast every day. So I know MySquare is featured in that top five a couple of times. But, your objective is to get yourself back in that list. So if you can, give me three reasons why someone should follow MySquare, please.
Three reasons, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think MySquare operating in a very exciting market here in Asia. Okay, Myanmar is one of the last frontier market that I can see. Myanmar will be booming. It will be growing faster in the next decades. So I think any service or product related to consumer in Myanmar, will be growing, at the same pace with the country growth. So I think the people pay attention, to us. MySquare is a mobile-based service company targeting a consumer in Myanmar. So I think it's that's one reason. The second reason I think is MySquare have even we are just in the just listed in M on M last year, just 1 year, very young, but I think what we have achieved so far provide some interesting potential futures, in terms of growth and things like that. And the third reason is most of the board members are shareholders in the company. Our chairman, Mr. Pierce, got share in the company. Myself invested in the company from very beginning. The other directors like Roche Marsh and Neil Osborne also have got share in the company. So all I would say, the board is very committed in the company, with that way.
Marvelous. And thanks very much for coming on. And hopefully we'll speak again soon. And I got to say, have a happy birthday today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure talking to you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Small Cap Authority there, commentator. He's a fully-fledged doctor of stocks, Doc Holliday. You're right, Doc.
Hello, mate. How are you today? You okay?
Yes, I'm all right. It's very busy there, and as far as talking to companies is concerned. But all
Let's
good in the
on,
hood. Yeah. Exactly. What are you looking at? What stocks are taking you particularly in fancy today, Doc?
A company, and this supports a few thoughts that I've had and shared on Vox, on the blog areas. You know, there's a lot of speculators now sort of suggesting that that sort of precarious recovery in oil is going to sort of extend and continue into the close of this year, into the start of 2017. I think as that sort of starts to take place, I sort of agree with that, those speculators. And as that starts to take place, I think we're going to see, you know, a number of companies that have been sort of well hammered down that present opportunity. And, you know, I know a lot of the time I come on and talk about tiny little microcap companies, and people think that's, you know, all I can sort of pull out the bag. They forget about, you know, some of the bigger stuff we looked at last year, BP, you know, 320 odd. And, you know, there's some nice easy trades on there for sort of 10 and 12%. And if you'd have bought them and held them, you'd have got a decent access to dividend type plays. And obviously there's been some pretty impressive upside as well from that particular company. But Rockhopper Exploration PLC, it's a company that's got assets both out in the Mediterranean and the Falkland Islands. It's the Falkland Islands stuff that's got much of the sort of proven resource here that's really sort of mouth-watering. They've got an agreement with Premier Oil. It remains to be seen whether they can stand that agreement, because Premier's share price and market caps reduced somewhat. But nonetheless, they've got huge, colossal, proven resources in place. And I think they've got a bit of production that they're going to start to make some headway on out in those Mediterranean assets. So I think at 28.5p, I think Rockhopper presents a good opportunity.
Yeah, it does. But do you know what? I'm looking at the chart there, and I quite like this at a technical level, because, I mean, obviously it's a bit bigger stock. So technically, they perform a little bit better on the chart. And you see there's lows back there at the start of the year, around about 25. Then it went up to almost 40 pence, came back there and tested those lows again, but a little bit higher. So nice higher lows there. And you put that on a weekly chart, it looks good. And it's impossible to call a bottom, of course. But it'd be hard. We'd have to see something bad happening for it to go below that 25 pence level.
Well, I think the oil price got down to, and somebody mentioned it to me the other day, and hats off to them, you know, the oil price got down to $27, I think, and, you know, Rockhopper went down to 25p. I kind of figure that if the oil price went back to 30 bucks, Rockhopper went to 25 or 26p, would it be the end of the world? I don't think it would be if you're a buyer at 28.5. But if that oil price goes from 50 to 60 bucks, it starts to make things a very different story. So at 28.5p, Rockhopper Exploration presents, as I say, some good opportunity.
I'm going to ask you one more thing, Doc. It's the 6th of October. Does that date ring any bells in your head?
Oh, God, you know, you're gonna join the band of merry men that are panicking about life science, I'm sure.
Do I sound like I'm panicking?
No, you don't actually, but I think there's a few out there that are naturally feeling a bit windy. It's like, you know, what will happen today? It's as if it's D-Day. You know, this year can suspend and it's got 6 months to get a deal home. It could suspend and be one day. It could be 2 days. It could be 5, 10, 20 days. It could be a month or two before we get that announcement. It could be in 5 minutes' time. That's the reality of this. You know, we all invested because we sort of shared the same view that Jim Mellon and Denham Ake and the guys that are involved with Burnbrae, with who features on the Rich List, the Times Sunday Rich List, at about 114 with 800 million quid to his name, allegedly. You know, is this guy going to get involved with this company in this capacity and even come on and speak to you from IP3 in a cafe about this business and do absolutely diddly squat? I don't think so. Therefore, I have no concerns.
Yeah, and there was, the last update was, of course, what was that? It was their report there of 6 months. And in that, the chairman's statement did say, and I highlighted this and tweeted it, said, "We hope to update shareholders on progress before suspension, provisionally scheduled for 7:30 a.m, 6th of October." So I like the word provisionally, you know? That says a lot, doesn't it? And, you know, they're clever guys. And they put that in there for a reason. And it doesn't say, that's it, game over, shut it all down, you know, provisionally.
I'm having a flashback now, you know, that Jim and Denham have been out on the shandies last night. You know, they've had a bit of a late night, got up late. Oh, you know, Denham, did you file the RNS? You know, did you log it? Oh, shit, no, I forgot. Oh, we better get on with it, you know, when it'll be out by 10 a.m. I mean, you know, yeah. You sort of start thinking, is it going to be a Keystone Cups type scenario? I've no idea what's going on the intricacies. I just have taken a view, as yourself and many others, that I don't see it going to fall flat on its face. And it's a speculative point nonetheless, and we'll wait and see what that delivers.
Yeah. You know that picture in my head there, them two just there saying, I thought you were supposed to do it. No, you were! Oh! Yeah, exactly. So I just find this quite exciting, so I think I'm quite confident something will happen here. Okay, any other stocks you're talking about, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we've talked a lot about Ariane Silver. Again, we're going sliding all the way down the scale from a sort of 130, 140 million pound market cap oil company to a sort of tiny, tiny little mining business, which has not particularly performed well. There's a bunch of people out there that have had exposure to Ariane Silver historically, made a lot of money, and there's a bunch of people out there that have lost a lot of money. The market started to warm up to this earlier in the year. There was a lot of speculation and anticipation about the company announcing acquisition of some sort of near-term production tailing assets, and that's yet to have happened. I've been continuously pecking Jim Williams. He's been in and out of Mexico throughout the year. They've had a number of different meetings and discussions, both at a board level and naturally with the asset owners, in order to try and secure these. You know, I'm standing by my beds waiting to see what happens. I think at 0.70, it presents real opportunity. I genuinely mean that. At the last set of accounts, they've got 1.16 million in the bank. I've since contacted the company, sort of looked at the cash burn. I don't think they're spending a lot. I think they've still got at least probably 1.1 million in the bank. Got a market cap of about 1.35 million today. The price is down because the market's been disappointed due to the lack of news. Should they break cover? Should that news come? We're going to see a quick turnaround in this one. Naturally, to caveat it, if they don't, the share price will probably slide a little bit further because people will speculate, what the hell are they going to do? But I'd say at this current level, as much as there's a lot of sort of disappointment surrounding it, people are getting exasperated, it's often the time and signal to start to buy.
Cool. All right, then. Any others for any others?
No, that'll do today. Thanks, Justin. Bye.
Okay, here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, I hold stock, Upland Resources, UPL, of course, awaiting that formal rubber stamping of the license there. They upped their share of that license there, 299 pedal, from 16.67% to 25%. At four, doing very well of late after the Sub-Zero acquisition there, Management Resources Solutions, or MRS, is the ticker. At three, it's always there. Had a bit of a pullback today, but the buyers are coming in on strength if you look at the trades going through. It's CloudTac, CTAG. At two, one to watch, I'd say, to add to your watch list. I say all these lists, the top five lists here, we approach all companies on the list to come on the podcast, but all these companies on the list, you should add to your watch list and just do some research, I think. It's Alba Minerals, ALBA, and at number one, again, doing very well. And I wouldn't be surprised if it appears in the all-time most followed soon. It's EVRH Holdings, had a bit of a pullback yesterday, 2%. That was off the back of a 25% rise. Phenomenal. And I think it's up to date. It's EVRH, of course, and virtual reality, a very hot sector. When all the big tech giants are trying to grab a bit of that sector there, you realise it's a hot sector. Okay, today's top three most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning were, at three, Premier African Minerals, the RHA Tungsten Mining Operations Update. At two, Keras Resources, the completion of acquisition of the Klondike Gold Project. And at number one, again, the second day, Metal Tiger, the appointment of financial advisor and broker to secure project-level financing in Thailand. That's MTR. Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list is Mercom Capital, MCC. Although it was submitted as Mervin Capital, MCC. I think that was a joke, isn't it? Submitted by The Man. And that's who's submitted by. What does the company do? Investment company. How many shares does the company have in issue? 29.43 million. What is the current price of market cap? Now, the current market price, share price for today, 6.125 pence, market cap 1.8 million. Although it was, this is only a few days back, it was 3.5 pence. It's now 6.1 pence, with a market cap just over a million when it was submitted. Revenue, profit, loss the company generates in its final results for the year ended 31st of March 2016. They made a loss of £582,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? Cash reserves of £592,000 at the 31st of March, plus they raised £302,000 via placing in July. So it's, you know, around about just under a million there. Net asset value of a million and no debt. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, coal asset in Vietnam due to go into production in Q1 2017 and trading sub-cash. Well, I'm not sure if they are now because the share price has risen a bit. Two, well, they're not, I know that. New chairman in process and further investments, which equals further investments, I should say. And number three, dividends being paid next year. All right, so Mercom Capital, MCC, worth doing some research. I had John Zorbas on the podcast a while back, and he said news is imminent. It's obviously taken a while, but he's got news there. I don't know if it's imminent, but it's news. You know what I'm saying? Listen, by all means, please get involved here. If you know of a company that should be on people's watch lists, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, click the link there, and you'll see a little link to fill out the one for your watch list. It's a form you fill in, takes 5 minutes, and I will feature it on a future podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.